Hello there, and welcome to another subscriber-only episode of Reader Tangents, the podcast that I'm definitely still doing. Thank you so much for being patient with me while I get things back on track in my personal life, and I can get back to this as well. We are going to do something today that is either going to be really fun or really infuriating, and knowing myself, probably is going to be both. And that is that we are going to talk about the latest romantasy article, whatever, in The Telegraph. You may have heard of this, you may not have heard of this, doesn't matter if you haven't, we're going to go through the whole thing. The very quick, you know, rundown is that there's an opinion piece in The Telegraph, which is a UK news outlet, about the romantasy genre, and it's bad. It's really bad. And so I thought it might be fun to sit here and read it and shred it to pieces together. I have already read this article, which is why I know we're about to shred it to pieces. I just feel like I want to do this. I just feel like I need to excise this from my soul. Because here's the thing, I didn't really want to do this on my public feeds. This is not something I was particularly interested in giving all that much time. It's a stupid article by a stupid person. Who fucking cares? So I don't want to give it the time of day on my public feeds. But we can have fun with it. We can sit here as friends and have a little chat about it. So what we're going to do is we're going to read the entire article and basically point by point, I'm going to talk about how bad it is and like tell you why it's so bad. Now, that sounds like a lot, but the article, which I don't even have to call it the piece because article really seems like it's giving it too much weight. This piece is less than 800 words. It's fewer than 800 words. So it's very quick to get through. This woman who wrote this has literally nothing to say. There's no substance to this, but I want to read it. And I thought we'd have a little fun together. So before we really get into it, let me lay the ground and give you the headline, and you will notice why I might want to talk about this. The headline for this article is Gen Z's taste for fairy porn lays bare the Me Too generation's smutty soul. We're just gonna sit with that for a second. We will be coming back to that. We will be coming back to that headline, but I just wanna give you that right off the bat. So yes, we are going to read this article. I'm basically gonna respond to it point by point, and like it's a really bad article. It's poorly written, it's very, very poorly researched. It seems to even give it too much credit to say that it's poorly researched. It's not researched at all in ways that we will get into. But there's a couple housekeeping things I want to do first. And this is something, if you saw the video that I did on TikTok, if not, like, I'll put it in the show notes. If you happen to see that video, I didn't talk about the article. I talked about the person who wrote it. So this was written by a woman named Laura Brown. I very much said in that video, I was like, I don't want to talk about this article. I want to talk about the person who wrote it. And I think it's always very important when you see these things, especially something that is this blatant in being rage bait. It is so apparent from the everything about this article, from the headline to the photos that were included in it, which we'll get into, every single piece of this, it is so obvious that this is rage bait. This is clickbait. This is made to make you angry, to generate clicks to The Telegraph. I am reading this on a web archive because The Telegraph is paywalled. So I'm kind of hoping that I am not contributing to the extra clicks that this is getting, but whatever. I'm sure this has made many, many rounds at this point. And I think it's really important when you see things like that to take note, even if like you're totally allowed to get mad at it, you're totally allowed to like sit there and have a talk about it, which is what obviously we're about to do. But I really want you to be aware of who the source is on something like this. So I want to talk about where this is coming from and who this is coming from. So first of all, this is an article in The Telegraph. If you're not already aware, The Telegraph is a UK news outlet. My understanding of it as somebody in the US is that it is right wing. It's like a right wing news outlet. I did a little bit of looking into sort of what the average person in the UK thinks of The Telegraph. And it seems to run the gamut of, you know, at its best, people will say that it's got fairly good journalism, though it definitely leans to the right, to its total right wing propaganda. And my understanding of The Telegraph is this is a right-wing site. When I see anything coming from The Telegraph, I know it's going to be conservative. I know it's going to be something with a right-leaning bias. And then within that, we have the author, the person who wrote this, Laura Brown. I read this article last week, and immediately I was like, let me see what else this woman has written. Because I bet you will not be surprised by, you know, this article coming out of this person. Whenever you see something like this, there's always something else. They never have just the one bad opinion. It's never somebody, like, when I'm looking at this, you know, this is an article about romanticism. The subheadline for this is this genre has conquered the literary world. And so she seems to be, you know, trying to take some level of like speaking about the publishing industry. So I'm looking at that saying, okay, what are your credentials? Is this somebody who is worth listening to? Is this somebody who has any genuine opinions on publishing? Who is this person? So I clicked on her byline. If you saw my video, you know, you've already seen these headlines, but we're going to run through these together anyway. Here's just three or four other headlines from Miss Laura Brown. Civilization would be broken without real men. Yeah, so that's the first one I saw, and I went, oh, okay, this is where we're going. Subheadline for that one is courage, strength, and a willingness to act should be celebrated, not managed away. This is, again, and all of these articles, by the way, fewer than 800 words. Again, she has nothing of substance to say. This is basically an article about how boys and men are made to feel bad for being boys and men because feminists talk about the concept of toxic masculinity. Blah, 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 blah. Whatever. We should actually be celebrating men. Isn't it so sad that nobody cares about men anymore? So sad. Whatever. Next one I clicked on was, we cannot ignore the reasons behind Britain's fertility crisis. Anytime anybody is talking about the fertility crisis, that is an immediate red flag. So the subheadline on this one is, we'd like to blame falling birth rates on societal harms that can be fixed, but what if we're having fewer children due to progress? And you might be wondering there, what the fuck does that mean, due to progress? We're having fewer children due to progress. Well, she says, and I quote, globally, the entrance of women into the workplace unavoidably correlates with a sharp fall in the number of children they have. Similarly, it seems that the more education a woman receives, the less likely she is to get pregnant. Unquote. She blames the fertility crisis, a problem which she says is a significant problem that we should all be very worried about and, you know, needs to be solved. She says that problem is caused by women having jobs and going to school. So, you know, she goes on to say that every, you know, according to a study out of Jordan, every additional year of schooling a girl gets results in fewer births. It seems to hold across the world. And then, of course, ends that section with saying, quote, it is impossible to ignore the role that access to abortion has played in enabling women to have fewer children. So, you know, also anti-abortion. Another headline I clicked on, it's time to retire Trafalgar's fourth plinth. I didn't know what that was, so I was like, let me open this up. Subheadline for this is, the 3-ton sculpture features a plaster cast life masks taken from transgender people and will blight the capital until 2026. So this is a public art piece celebrating trans people, where she goes on to talk about how trans people suck, essentially. It's a very anti-trans article in which at one point she says, quote, as Policy Exchange's Biology Matters workstream has repeatedly revealed, gender identity ideology has proven tremendously harmful in a number of ways. In this moment, she is citing something that sounds, you know, academic in nature or like it has something to it. So I was like, what is that? And there's no link. Oftentimes when you read an article, things like this will be a link that you can click through, which is how I get most of my background information when people are like, oh my God, I can't believe you found that, like, this has had this connection. It's just because I clicked the link in the article. This one's not linked, so I had to look up what this was. Policy Exchanges Biology Matters. I was like, that's a lot of words that looks like a big red flag. So let me look up what this is. It turns out Policy Exchange is a right wing, it's a conservative think tank in the UK, and Biology Matters is the anti-trans arm within that think tank. And the Biology Matters Project Compendium, essentially the who we are, what we're doing, all of the information that we have, you can download it on their website. So I went ahead and clicked on it. And you will not believe who fucking wrote it. Laura Brown. She is citing herself. I'm guessing she doesn't link to it, because if she linked to it, you would immediately see that she is citing herself. She puts this in as a sort of like call to authority, you know, to make it seem like she's talking about something that is well known, that's studied. You know, she puts this name of authority on it to show, you know, some level of support for what she's saying. It's just herself. She's just quoting herself. She's a TERF. She's anti-trans. That's what she's citing. So that was fucking crazy. And the final article that I clicked on for that video was titled, What ABBA Can Teach Greta Thunberg. It's time for the activist to let go of fame and accept that she won't always be the center of the dance floor. So in this article or this opinion piece, Laura Brown goes on to talk about how Greta Thunberg, the climate activist, became famous when she was 15, kind of grew up in that, you know, activist fame, is now 22 and is sort of having to deal with not being the center of attention anymore, sort of is the way that she lays it out, and that is why she's taken up the Palestinian cause. She says, quote, maybe this is why she's pivoted causes, moving on from wind turbines and donning herself in a kufiya as the spotlight shifted. Essentially insinuating that Greta Thunberg picked up the position of being pro-Palestine to gain fame and popularity, a thing which you definitely get for being pro-Palestine. Always comes with fame and popularity and no downsides whatsoever. So anyway, very important when you're reading something like this, this Romantasy article, to understand who the source is. What is this coming to you from? The Telegraph, a right-wing news outlet? And who is the one putting it in front of you? This clearly insane alt-right woman writing for the Telegraph and for anti-trans think tanks. So now that we've laid that groundwork, we're going to look at the article. But again, we're going to kind of take this in pieces. So the first thing I want to do is give you an idea of what this article actually looks like. First, you can tell it's very short because it's less than 800 words. It's not that long. You can see the scroll bar is pretty big. So when you click on it, you get that headline, Gen Z's Taste for Fairy Porn Lays Bare the Me Too Generation's Smutty Soul. And the subheadline being, This Genre Has Conquered the Literary World. The header image on this is a collection of Sarah J. Maas books. It's Throne of Glass, Crescent City, and A Court of Thorns and Roses. And I know that she got this off of Instagram or somebody's bookstagram, A, because of like the filter that's on this, and B, because the cover that she shows here for ACOTAR, the cover that's in this photo, is like a fan cover. It's not the original cover. It's like something that somebody bought, which frankly, I totally get. I think the covers for that series are really ugly. I think the old covers were ugly, and I think the new covers are ugly, but I digress. The main image, the main header image here is a picture of Sarah J. Maas books. And if you scroll through the article, there are two more pictures in here. One is of a woman standing outside of a bookstore, and one is of the cover 50 Shades of Grey. We'll get to that. It's also hilariously, the cover that she put in here for 50 Shades of Grey is clearly too small for this article, so it's all pixelated and fucked up. Oh my God. Whatever. So visually, that's what we're looking at. The other thing that I want to say before we get into this, I kind of assume because this is a subscriber only that you guys typically have a good understanding of where I'm at on some of these genres, but that's not always true. I know some people are here that don't necessarily follow me or keep up with me other places. When I talk about this, it's not because I love Romantasy so much and I don't want to hear anything bad about it. And so like, I refuse to listen. I actually am one of the biggest critics of Romantasy. Consistently, I will talk about how bad Romantasy is and how much I don't like the current era of Romantasy. And I do make sure, I often try to make sure that I am distinguishing that I'm talking about the current era of Romantasy, what we currently understand to be Romantasy, which has gone on to expand a lot of what would have previously been called paranormal romance or just have been fantasy novels previously. Regardless, I just want to make it clear here that like, I criticize Romantasy all the fucking time. I have an entire video from last year about how the current era of Romantasy is so often in its most popular form the total death of substance, and you have these absolutely garbage, substanceless, nothing to say books that are coming out and hitting these bestseller lists because, you know, publishers are putting so much money behind them. My point being that I am coming at this from a place of like, I criticize Romantasy all the fucking time. But here's the reason that I feel like I am quote unquote allowed to do that, and somebody like Laura Brown here is not. And I can always fucking tell from the headlines, but it becomes clear as you're reading this as well. I criticize Romantasy as somebody who generally likes the concept, enjoys the genre, would like it if it were better. You know, like I'm criticizing from a place of love. I'm criticizing from, I want this to be better. I know this can be better. We deserve to have better. I'm not criticizing this from a point of view of somebody like Laura Brown or like a lot of people who stand on the outside and point, laugh and say, you know, this is dumb. This is stupid. Everybody who engages in this is stupid. I'm coming at this from the inside, from somebody who knows what the fuck I'm talking about because I have been within the genre and I've been around on the outskirts of the genre before it was, you know, what we see it as it is now. I criticize Romantasy because I want it to be better. These people criticize Romantasy because they want to make fun of people and because it generates them clicks. So whatever, let's actually read this fucking article. Okay, I cannot. We're gonna start with the headline. Because again, you could break this down into so many pieces and every piece of it is wrong. Okay. Gen Z's taste for fairy porn lays bare the Me Too generation's smutty soul. Oh my God.